We're in Isaiah chapter 1 today. If you want to find Isaiah chapter 1, if you just open your Bible to the middle, you'll be really close. I intend to be in Isaiah through the remainder of the year. I will not try to preach all 66 chapters. We'll be focusing mostly on the pronouncements of a coming Messiah and salvation. But Isaiah's messages begin with repentance. And that's where we are this morning in chapter 1. The name of this book and of the man, Isaiah, means Yahweh is salvation. And by the way, Isaiah is not the Hebrew pronunciation. It's the West Texas pronunciation. Some people say Isaiah, Isaiah. It may come out both ways for me. And I will not try to speak it properly in Hebrew. But it is the same word. Root word is Joshua or Jesus, by the way. Yahweh is salvation. That could even be the theme of the book. If you looked for one single theme in the book, that could be it. Yahweh is salvation. It's a book of contrast. We see the depravity of people compared to the divine glory of God. We see the need of judgment. It's apparent. And yet, God's desire for redemption is throughout. God's wisdom is compared with the stupidity of idols. There's abundance versus barrenness and arrogance versus humility. And with each contrast, Isaiah points the listener toward God. God's glory, His greatness, surpasses all else. I'm going to turn the wireless mic off and we'll be fine. Even through the woes of judgment, we should see the almighty power in the eternal glory of God. Yahweh, the creator, the provider, the sustainer, the protector, the judge, and the redeemer. Isaiah paints glorious pictures through poetry and prose. It's complicated at some points. At some points, we're not quite sure where we should place the prophecy. He speaks of things that happened years after his time. Some things 100 years after his time, so clearly and so specifically that the scholars say, well, there's no way that man Isaiah could have written all of this when he lived. Except that God gave him the word. Including the names of people who would come. It's incredible, really. Isaiah's ministry began about 200 years after King Solomon. And I mention that because that's a pretty good marker in history. You all know of King Solomon, the wisest and richest king of Israel. And so about 200 years later. Now, you probably also remember that the nation of Israel divided after Solomon. There became a northern kingdom, typically called Israel, and a southern kingdom, typically called Judah. Israel was the bigger one in land and in population. About 10 of the tribes went with the northern kingdom. And then there's Judah in the south, but that's where Jerusalem, the holy city, is, and the temple. And that division in itself was an act of rebellion against God and against the king that had been put in place. And throughout those 200 years or so, both nations had become unfaithful to God. The northern kingdom much more rapid. Most of the kings of the northern kingdom were wicked. The southern kingdom had overall better kings, but even some of them were corrupt. And by the point of Isaiah, both nations were unfaithful to God overall. And the northern nation, Israel, by the time of Isaiah, was already under foreign control, really. But under the control of Assyria, beginning with an A, Assyria. And by 722 BC, Assyria completely eliminated the northern kingdom. Defeated and eliminated the northern kingdom, which left this little bitty country in the south, what we call Israel, that part, just the area not very much further away than Jerusalem. Little bitty country is trapped between Assyrian power on the north and Egyptian power on the south. And so they are in a position of foreign domination, outside enemies, and internal corruption. That's the state of the nation during most of Isaiah's ministry. By the way, that's a classical historical repetition, that nations find themselves with facing enemies on the outside and corruption on the inside. And we keep doing it over and over. This unfaithfulness is what led to their national problem. Unfaithfulness to God. Because of they neglected the ways of Yahweh, and they took on ways of idolatry. They even brought idols into places of worship. They began to decay internally, and that led to injustice. They started neglecting their own people and taking advantage of their own people. And then their worship became vain, useless. And so that's the climate in which Isaiah spoke. And look at the first verse there in Isaiah 1. The vision concerning Judah and Jerusalem that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw during the reigns of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. So he ministered during the reign of those four kings of Judah. That's at least 25 years, and he perhaps ministered longer. So he had quite a tenure. And this first oracle from the Lord is what he chose to write first. Hear me, you heavens, listen, earth. For the Lord has spoken, I reared children and brought them up, but they have rebelled against me. The ox knows its master, the donkey its own manger, but Israel does not know. My people do not understand. Woe to the sinful nation, a people whose guilt is great, a brood of evildoers, children given to corruption. They have forsaken the Lord. They have spurned the Holy One of Israel and turned their backs on Him. Why should you be beaten anymore? Why do you persist in rebellion? Your whole head is injured. Your whole heart is afflicted. From the sole of your foot to the top of your head, there is no soundness, only wounds and welts and open sores, not cleansed or bandaged or soothed with olive oil. Your country is desolate. Your cities burned with fire. Your fields are being stripped by foreigners right before you, laid waste as when overthrown by strangers. Daughter Zion is left like a shelter in a vineyard, like a hut in a cucumber field. By the way, just think about that image. I never thought about that before. A hut in a cucumber field. Sounds lonely. A city under siege. Unless the Lord Almighty had left some survivors, we would have become like Sodom. We would have been like Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Listen to the instruction of our God, you people of Gomorrah. The multitude of your sacrifices, what are they to me, says the Lord? I have more than enough burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fattened animals. I have no pleasure in the blood of bulls and the lambs and goats. When you come to appear before me, who asks this of you, this trampling of my courts? Stop bringing meaningless offerings. Your incense is detestable to me. New moons, Sabbaths, convocations, I cannot bear your worthless assemblies. Your new moon feast and your appointed festivals, I hate with all my being. They've become a burden to me. I'm weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands in prayer, I hide my eyes from you. Even when you offer many prayers, I am not listening. Your hands are full of blood. A serious word from the Lord. I'm not even listening to your prayers because you're so corrupt. Your worship stinks. Your hands are full of blood. You're taking advantage of your own people. Look at verse 16. Wash and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Defend the oppressed. Take up the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. Verse 18. Come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good things of the land. But if you resist and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. In this huge book of prophecy, he begins with repentance, calling people to recognize their condition and turn back to the Lord. He wasn't speaking to people who didn't know the Lord. He was speaking to God's own people. But he said, you've completely gone away from God. Turn back. His first message being repentance to a rebellious people. They needed to change their ways. Judah, he says, you're a sinful nation. You are not experiencing the blessings of God. Your worship is vain. Your rebellion deserves the sword. However, God wants you to be restored. God wants you to come back to Him. If you repent, you can enjoy the goodness of the land. And of course, that's tied up in the promise of Israel, promise to Abraham. I'm giving you this land to take care of you forever. You just need to walk in faith. You need to be faithful to me. And he says to them, you're not enjoying the promise of the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey. It's barren because of the way you're living. Come back to me and you'll enjoy the land again. Is it not amazing that God is willing to forgive outright rebellion? He's willing. He wants to make us clean again, and he wanted to make Israel clean again. It's incredible that now, no matter how corrupt we are, God invites us to be restored. Come, he says. Let's work this out. Let's struggle together. Let's settle the matter of your rebellion. Your sin stinks. That's where we need to start. It's a big red stain on the nation that God created to be holy. But I can restore your purity. I want to restore your purity. I will make you as pure as the driven snow if you'll repent and come back to me. Do you believe that God can restore your purity? And I'm speaking to every age group and
part of the population here. Do you believe that God can restore your purity?
Isaiah's writing, as inspired by God, contains many announcements of judgment. Judgment for Judah, judgment for Israel, judgment for the nations that were their enemies. It's all throughout these chapters. And as with Old Testament prophets, Isaiah spoke warning after warning. And yet, there's this constant call to repentance. Come back to me. Come back to me. Change your mind. Change your ways. God wants you to be restored. He wants your scarlet stain to be cleansed. He wants the leprosy taken from the flesh of your heart. He wants you to walk in freedom and in love.
In this first chapter, we find Judah on trial verse 2. Hear me, heavens. Let the earth and the heavens be the jury while I make my case against Judah. I've chosen them. I raised them up, and they've rebelled against me. Had a good friend once, we were talking about our kids. He said, you raise them, you send them to school, you buy them books, you feed them, and they break your heart. Some of you are nodding.
God says, they're my own people. I've raised them up in that they've rebelled against me. He said, even farm animals know their owner. They know from where their provision comes. But the people of Israel had lost the plot. They had forgotten who they were. Their rebellion had matured into all-out corruption.
Even though their national condition should have been enough evidence to convince them of their sin, they failed to acknowledge their depraved state. And I could make that from past tense to present tense. Even though we look around our nation and we should be convinced by the condition of our nation that we are depraved, we seem to be ignorant to it as a nation. And we continue to go away from God. For Israel, in less than 200 years, they had gone their way so much that their worship was so corrupt that God says, it makes me sick. In the Revelation, when God was speaking to the seven churches, to one he said, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. You make me sick. Their offerings were meaningless, detestable. Their religion was false and dirty. Their nation was no longer just. They did not seek justice. They didn't take care of the oppressed, the widows and the orphans. They did not look like or act like or smell like God's people. And God laid out his case against the nation, and it was condemning. They deserved to be cut off. And he had the armies ready. Assyria was pounding at the door. And after them, Babylon and Egypt. They deserve to be cut off. They deserve death. But there's that invitation in verse 18.
Come. Come. Let us reason. Let us work it out. Let us struggle together.
I will take away your sin and make you pure. If you give up your will for mine. If you quit going your way and go the way I've called you, I'll make you as pure as the driven snow. But right now, you're blood red with guilt.
Do you hear the love behind these statements? Israel, you've been going your own way for about 200 years now, but I'm willing to take you back.
In fact, I've already reserved a remnant. There are a few who remain faithful, and I will restore you all to proper relationship with me if you will be faithful. If not, you will be devoured. If you continue the way to go the way you're going, I will purge you with fire. I will destroy you except for the remnant that I choose.
Now, Isaiah was not writing to the United States. And while it's tempting to make that comparison, I want to be clear. We're not under the promise of a holy land. But the principles here are still valid. These principles are still valid for nations. He will send judgment on a nation who has known him and then turns the other way. He also responds with mercy, and he wants people to come back to him.
He wants all nations and all people to be in right relation to him. The same principles apply to the local church and to the local community. These same principles apply to us as individuals. Please see the glorious God here who designs justice. It's justice because he says so. And he reaches out with mercy.
Please hear the call to redemption. If you are not in right relation to God, repent. That means change your mind, change directions, and come to him. We know that sin separates every person from God. Even though we are his beloved creation, sin removes us from his glory. And the only way we can return to his presence is the way that he designed. We cannot earn it. The only way is for us in this age to commit to follow the ways of God in flesh, Jesus Christ. He came to show us the way. And we come back to that invitation. Come, let us reason. Let us present the case before creation. Your religion stinks. The smell of your cult offends me. I'm the God who set up the temple system and the sacrificial system. But when you participate, he said, I don't like it. Our religious rituals do not make up for our bad behavior, I guess would be one way to say that. Your worship is vain because your hands are full of blood. But come, let's settle the matter. Give up your rebellion. Quit going against me. Quit running away. I want you to share in the glory of my kingdom. I want you to be pure. It's hard to imagine God's own people taking advantage of the poor. Well, maybe it's not. They were neglecting justice in pursuit of convenience and wealth. Israel and Judah had taken the bounty of the land that God gave them and spent it on foreign idols.
They brought in the false gods of other nations. They were more interested in themselves than they were the ways of God.
And he said in verse 20, if you resist and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword.
It's a vast drama that is played out in the documents of the Old Testament, as we see God deal with Israel, the people that he brought up to be his kingdom of priests. And it's here to instruct us, because we make the same errors. We experience the blessing of God, we experience the knowledge of God and the glory of God, and then sometimes we go the wrong way. We go our own way. To the point that everything starts to look different. Starts to look gray. You ever feel like your prayers don't go past the ceiling?
Is there a sin that's causing your worship to be vain? Is there something right now that's coming between you and the person God intends you to be? What is it that needs to be named and confessed and repented from so that you can be as white as snow in your spirit? Listen, Jesus has already done the work of redemption. He doesn't have to do it again. His work was good once and for all. And if God can restore the heart of a sinful nation, if God can restore King David after adultery and conspiracy to murder, He can cleanse you. Do you believe that God can make you pure again? Is there something that you need to take care of today? Ron and Cindy are going to come and lead us in some quiet worship. I want you to just remain seated. Listen to the words of the Lord. And if you need to take care of business, then let's do it. The altar is open.